Well, welcome back to another session of Alliance of Honorable Men. I'm glad to be here with you again. Last week, we began to talk about the definition of covenant. We began to talk about how important it is that we get rid of our egos and our pride, which stops us from operating in the principle that God established in Genesis 12 and 3. He told Abram that I'm going to make you a blessing. He said, but I'm going to bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you until all the families of the earth be blessed. And as I said earlier, you can see that principle working throughout the Bible. Now, God did not change that principle. He only made it better with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because no longer do we have to wait for an individual to give us instructions. We can have instructions from an individual leader, but also God can speak to us for himself. One of the statements I made last week is that one of the first things God does when he calls you to do something is to connect you with somebody who's already been doing what God has called you to do. Why? No man is an island on all on his own. No person is an island on their own. When God calls you to do something, God has already started something before he called you. So God then connects you with that person that's already doing what he's called you to do so that you can pick up his agenda from that person. So this is very clear. This is very key. It's very clear. You need to understand this. God does not start anything radically new with someone who has no, as I call, supernatural experience with him. It took Abraham, I don't know exactly, so many years before he really trusted God and God could give him a son. You go throughout the Bible and you see that connection of God using somebody who had spiritual experience to train somebody with that spiritual experience. One of my favorite things that I say about the Bible and the importance of understanding covenant. If you remember the story of Elijah, I'm not sure if we're going to be able to get to it, but we'll actually read one of these sessions where you'll see what God spoke to Elijah. Elijah was first. God spoke to Elijah and told Elijah to do three things. If you study out the life of Elijah, he only did one of those things that God specifically told him to do. There's three things he told him to do. One, he told him to anoint Elisha to be a prophet in thy house. Then he told him to anoint two different kings. Elijah only anointed Elisha. Elisha did the other two, or did one and didn't do the other one because he had picked up some things that God didn't want to happen. So God gave Elijah the instructions, but the question is, how did Elisha know to do those two other things? Because God didn't tell Elijah to do the two other things. He had to have gotten it from Elijah. See, without covenant, it's impossible for God's agenda to be fully accomplished. Remember what God said. I keep repeating Ephesians 4 and 11. Jesus said he gave some prophets, some pastors, some teachers, and evangelists. For what? Number one, the perfecting of the saints or the maturing of the saints to do the work of the ministry. So those that are mature can do the work of the ministry. You cannot be matured in the body of Christ if you don't come into covenant. If we don't learn how to yield and submit to do the work of the ministry, for three, so the body of Christ can be edified or be built. So the fivefold given to the body of Christ to do those three things. So we see covenant is important for maturity, to do the work of the ministry, and to build the body of Christ. Remember now, Elijah only did one of those things. So how did Elisha know to do the other two? He had to get it from Elijah. Listen, in Joshua, the first chapter, a lot of people take that whole scenario with God talking to Joshua out of context. They like to lift the 8th verse out of that and take it out of context and think it's talking about the whole Bible. Through general principle, it can apply to the whole Bible, but in that specific instance, God was dealing with the principle. God told Joshua, and I get this now, we talked about this last week, God told Joshua out of his own mouth, God told Joshua out of his own mouth, do what Moses said do. Now, my question always been, God, you right there, why did you not tell him what to do? Because God was so, God is so thrilled with covenant and us working together, men, women working together to accomplish his agenda, that he refused to break protocol. Jesus did it himself. Jesus came time and went and found John the Baptist and said, I need you to baptize me. John the Baptist said, I ain't no way in the world I can baptize you, Jesus. I'm not even worthy even buckle your shoe latchet. Jesus said, so that all scriptures can be fulfilled, you must baptize me. That is Jesus not willing to pull rank. That's Jesus understanding covenant. Everybody has their place. We're going to talk about, in this particular session, accurate principles of covenant. Now, we're going to use the story of David and Jonathan. Matter of fact, turn with me to 1 Samuel, the 18th chapter. 1 Samuel, the 18th chapter. Watch this. 1 Samuel, the 18th chapter. Praise God. 1 Samuel, the 18th chapter. I want to read the first 4 verses. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, meaning David, speaking unto Saul, listen to this, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And watch this, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Verse 2, and Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved them as his own soul. Verse 4, and Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to the sword and to his bow and to his girdle. First accurate principle of covenant is that hearts are connected through the frequency of the Spirit. After Jonathan heard David, the Bible says his heart was knitted to David. Now, what would make that happen? A lot of us, whether we realize or not, have gone through this process, just didn't recognize, keyword recognize, didn't recognize how important that particular moment was. First time you heard your man or woman of God and something struck you. Like, there's something about this person. That's what happened to David. That's what, I mean, just happened to Jonathan when he heard David speaking to his father. He recognized the grace of God on David's life. Not only did he recognize the grace that was on David's life, he recognized when David was speaking, he recognized the integrity and sincerity of his heart. This is why fivefold ministry gift has to have a life of holiness, a life of integrity, a life of sanctification. Because when we speak the word of God, it becomes spirit and life. And people are deciding their lives and their futures based on sometimes what we say. So Jonathan's heart was connected to David. In covenant, hearts have to be connected by word and spirit expression. This is, you hear me say this often, this can't be a flesh connection. Jonathan and David could not just be a flesh connection. Obviously, it wasn't a flesh connection because Jonathan recognized the grace that was on, he even recognized the grace that was on David that wasn't on his father. And they blood relatives. So it cannot be a flesh connection. In this covenant, hearts must feel the intensity of each other, of the frequency of each other, and watch this, become aligned almost instantaneously. I was speaking to you earlier, just a few moments ago, about how these moments happened to you when you first heard your man or woman of God, and immediately you felt a connection. Immediately. That was a spirit connection. That was a spirit connection. And so with that spirit connection, your soul has to align with it. Watch this. Number two, the second accurate principles of covenant. You must know true affection, love, and care for that person. We cannot be in covenant with someone unless we feel genuine love, care, and acceptance. Read this, it said, Jonathan loved David as he loved himself. Now, this is important because Jesus talked about this. Jesus said, they asked him, what was the greatest commandment? He said, to love thy neighbor as thyself. So it's important that this that the Bible spoke about this, about Jonathan. He said, Jonathan loved David as he loved himself. In other words, there was a genuine love and care for David. With your man or woman of God, there must be a genuine love and care. You want to see them have the best. You want to see them be the best. You want to make sure that God, that they receive everything they're supposed to receive from God. And vice versa. Jonathan desired all things for David, just as he desired for himself. Look at verse 4. And Jonathan stripped himself of that robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and his bow and to his girdle. Now watch this. Now watch what happened. Watch what, see, you must understand biblical times and understand the setting. This man gave Jonathan gave David his robe. Now remember, Jonathan was the son of Saul. So the robe that Jonathan was wearing was signifying that he was next in line for the throne. He took the robe off and gave it to David. Wow. He gave David his sword and his bow. In other words, he gave David his weapons. So now David was responsible for covering him. See how covenant works? Jonathan was next in line for the throne, but he saw the grace that was on David's life, took off his robe, gave it to David. That was a signal, that was signifying that Jonathan was willing to step back and allow God's ordained person to become king. He said he even gave him his girdle, gave him his money, because they carried their money in their girdle at the time. Gave it to him. He had a genuine love. He fell in love with the man that God had chosen. We must become preoccupied to seeing them have the best at all times. We start to desire two of everything so that we can share one with the other person. Wow. Third accurate principle of covenant. This is by far my favorite. Covenant is not selfish or manipulative. Covenant is not selfish or manipulative. Saul, who was selfish, would not allow David to return to his father's house. So you know Saul was not in covenant with David. Saul was looking out for Saul. Covenant needs two parties and total commitment to walk together. Total commitment to walk together. Watch this. This is a powerful statement. Covenant is enhanced by the spirit of sacrifice. By the spirit of sacrifice. Now, I got to put a peg down, work there for a while. A spirit of sacrifice. What I mean by that? Jonathan, watch this. Jonathan recognized the grace of God in his life and was willing to give up the throne so that David can fulfill God's will for his life. The spirit of sacrifice. This is why, I pay attention and study Apostle and his movements, because I want to understand how God is moving. I want to be aware when God is moving. And hindsight is 20/20. But a lot of times hindsight being 20/20 will also give you foresight. Because when you see what God has done, you can kind of see the pattern that God is going. You know, when the apostle first made the transition to break out of his traditional background, you know, Holy Ghost, God filled him with the Holy Spirit, then God had him started to teach on prosperity. Now, why would God get him to do that? We as ministers have to let God be our source for two reasons. Number one, we can easily say, thus saith the Lord, and not worry about what anybody do to us financially. Any being blackballed, being canceled, as the new word is, to be canceled, to be blackballed, to be ridiculed, so that our families won't suffer. The second reason that we as ministers need to understand prosperity and make God our source is so that we can do what God is asking us to do and not worry about where the money is going to come from, not worry about receiving offers, not gear our actions toward raising offerings, but gear our actions toward God's agenda and let God provide. And so the only way that can happen is by you mastering the power of the seed. You mastering your seed. When you master your seed, you master your harvest. When you master your seed, you master your harvest. So therefore, I don't have to worry about how I'm going to get mine. I can sacrifice. I can walk in the spirit of sacrifice, because I believe in Galatians 6 and 7. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I can work in that principle. Why? Because I'm mastering my seed. When I master my seed, I master my harvest. So I have no problem giving up my belt. I don't have a problem giving up my robe. I have no problem giving up my weapons. I don't mind giving up my gifts and use them on behalf of God. When I can profit off of myself, I can give them to God and let God use them. I don't mind doing that. Why? Because I know when I do that, God becomes my source. Most ministers can't complete or cannot fulfill the will of God because they're in survival mode. Can't even get in the covenant. Can't yield when they need to yield. Can't connect when they need to connect. Why? Because they got pride and ego trying to produce income. Number four, covenant needs two parties in total commitment to walk together. That's number four. Jonathan and David made a covenant with each other and renewed it in the times of trials and testing. Go to 1 Samuel, the 20th chapter. Look at the 20th chapter. Look in 1 Samuel, the 20th chapter, look at verse 16. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him, for he had loved him as his own soul. Look at verse 23. And as touching the matter which thou and I have spoken of, the Lord be between thee and me forever. So even when Saul turned against David, Jonathan renewed his covenant with David. See, this is what Jesus was saying. I come to bring a sword, divide mother from daughter. He wasn't trying to divide families. Jesus was trying to say nothing should be more important than your relationship with me and God as your father. That's what Jonathan said. Jonathan said his earthly connection to his father Saul wasn't more important than God's agenda. Now, people will try to make you make choices. I tell my daughters all the time, do not make me choose between you and God, because you're going to lose every time. Don't make me choose. I don't want to choose, but don't make me, because I will choose. Because nothing is more important to me than God. Nothing is more important to me than his agenda being accomplished. That's where you have to be in your life. That's where you have to be, where nobody can walk you back from your covenant with God. Nobody can walk you from the agenda of God. Number five, covenant is enhanced by the spirit of sacrifice. Watch this. This is not a give and take relationship. This is a give and wait to receive relationship. True covenant. If you're in true covenant with somebody, you don't do something because they can do something for you. True covenant says, I'm going to do this regardless of what you do. That's true covenant. That cannot be done in the flesh. Because there are going to be some times when you be disappointed in people. But that don't mean that God is disappointed in you. There are times when you have to do something and not look for anything in return. Let God, that's why I had the master of the sea, let God be your source. In this enhanced spirit of sacrifice, we talked about earlier, Jonathan gave away his sword, gave away his robe. Jonathan actually gave away his future. Gave away his future so that the agenda of God can be accomplished. Now, watch this. We got Galatians 6 and 7. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So if Jonathan sold his future, what you think he reaped? Oh, my goodness. Once Jonathan sacrificed, David became responsible to protect his life. Once he gave his sword and his bow, David became responsible to protect his life. Once he gave up his bill, David became responsible. See, grab these things in the spirit world. Once you begin to connect to God through his man or woman of God, through his agenda. See, here's the thing. One thing we get confused. We connect to God for life. But because we connect to God for life, or Zoe, don't mean we're connected to his agenda. Oh, hear me. This is good. Because we connect to God for life, meaning you accept Jesus Christ, your Savior, you're now born again, you're a new creature in Christ. You connect to God for life, but you connect to his man or woman of God for agenda. Remember now, one of the first things God does when he calls you is to connect you to somebody who's already going down a path that you want to go. You can see it throughout the Bible. Throughout the Bible. So God has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So in this spirit, enhanced spirit of sacrifice, when you begin to connect and you begin to have the spirit of sacrifice, you now, watch this, obligate God. Because remember, the sacrifice is so that his, look at this scripture, go to Galatians. Watch this, go to Galatians. Start my sacrifice, go to Galatians. The Apostle Paul said this. Galatians 2, and reference to verse 20. The Apostle Paul is saying, watch this. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, Apostle Paul say, listen to what he said. He said, I am crucified, something had to die. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. So that means the crucifixion that we go through is not the same crucifixion that Jesus went through. There's a different type of crucifixion that we go through. Watch what he says. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That is the spirit of sacrifice. What did you crucify? Or what must you crucify if you haven't crucified it yet? You must crucify your self-will. Praise God. You must sacrifice your self-will and let Christ live through you. God said, I know the thoughts that I think. He talked to the prophet Jeremiah. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. So therefore, if there is an expected end, there must be another end. There's an expected end where God expects it to be, and then there is another end. Which end are you going to go to? I want to go to the expected end. So if I want to go to the expected end, I need to grab the thoughts of God. I need to understand the thoughts of God. I cannot understand the thoughts of God until somebody comes and help me to discern and to recognize the thoughts of God. That's the purpose of your man or woman of God, is to help you to recognize and discern the thoughts of God for your life. So that you can sacrifice your self-will and take upon his will. For it is God through you to do of his good will and of his good pleasure. That's Philippians 2. See, the Apostle Paul said, I am crucified. Jonathan didn't do anything different. Jonathan crucified his self-will. Crucified, I'm going to be king. Crucified, all those things, because he fell in love with the agenda of God and the person who was carrying the agenda. Jonathan's willing to give up his rights and what he possessed to David, consolidate the relationship of covenant. This is so important. Go to Matthew. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Go to Matthew 6th chapter. Matthew 6th chapter. Watch this. Matthew 6th chapter and the 21st verse. Now you're about to understand the 21st verse in a clear and precise way. Jesus talking, he said, for where your treasure is, there will your what? Heart or soul be also. So you mean to tell me Jonathan revealed his heart based on what he did with his treasure? You exactly right. Got a powerful statement for you. Your job is to prove to God you're not lazy. Whatever job you work, whatever business you have, that's to prove to God that you're not lazy. Your seed is to prove to God that you trust him. Your job, your business, it's to prove to God you're not lazy, but your seed proves to him that you trust him. Trust him. You mean to tell me the very thing I sweat for, my seed, I'm giving it to him for him to use. I'm giving it to his representative. As a matter of fact, God set a precedent so strong that it cannot be denied. In Genesis, the 14th chapter, God became flesh. Yes, he did. Go read your Bible. Melchizedek. Read Hebrews the 7th chapter. You'll find out who Melchizedek was. Melchizedek became flesh. And Abraham by revelation, by his heart, where his treasure was, he gave him a tenth of all he had. Abraham wanted to solidify the covenant. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Melchizedek served him bread and wine, which solidified the covenant. This is so important. The spirit of sacrifice. There are some things in my life I had to give up when I wanted to come into covenant with my wife, Chantel. Some things she had to give up. And some things, some self-dreams that I had that I thought were best for me, I had to give them up whenever God spoke to me about what I'm supposed to be doing at Word of Life Christian Center. I was initially supposed to be going to law school. And I'll never forget. I took an accounting class in my junior year of high school. And God said, this is what I want you to do. Not knowing any, he said, this is what I want you to do. He spoke very clear to me. I want you to go study accounting. I want you to go, this is all before money coming. I want you to go study accounting. I want you to go study money coming. I mean, I want you to go study accounting. I want you to go to LSU and study accounting. This is all before money coming. I graduated in 93. I graduated from high school in 93. God spoke this to me in 92. I graduated in 93. I started college in the fall of 93. 94 is when Apostle got the word money coming. So now, I was able to be trained to handle what God was trying to demonstrate through Apostle. In my mind, I was going to college. I was going to get a degree in English, get a degree in history or whatever it was. Then I was going my way to law school. But God changed it. And I had to sacrifice my self-will. And I am so thankful that I sacrificed my self-will. It's so important that we have the spirit of sacrifice when God speaks to us. Because whatever God asks us to put on the back burner, whenever God asks us to change direction, whenever God asks us to do something that we want, do something different than what we want to do, I can guarantee you that the expected end is a whole lot better than the end. Hope you grab hold of that. The enhanced spirit of sacrifice. We get together next week. We'll finish chapter 7 and we'll go into the accurate. Well, I think we got one more. We got two more, 6 and 7 of accurate principles of covenant. Then we'll go to the proper mental attitude to have. We'll switch stories. We're going to Naomi and Ruth. We're going to study them next week. But this 7th chapter, I want you to read this chapter over and over and over again, because this chapter will catapult you into the Zoe, the God kind of life. You already have access to it, but when you begin to understand covenant, you will be catapulted into the Zoe, to where nothing you desire will go ungranted. Nothing you want will be a far-fetched idea. God will give you everything you dream about when you learn to sacrifice on his behalf. I bless you. I look forward to seeing you next week.